Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, episode 36. Welcome back to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. Well, that has certainly been one crazy week that I just lived. This past Tuesday, I headed out on a U.S. Airways flight to Chicago for the American Institute of Architects National Convention. I love Chicago. I've been there a couple times in the last few years, and I am just awed by the architecture, filled with amazing architecture, both historic buildings as well as brand new buildings. You know, Chicago is the birthplace of the skyscraper, and with new structures like Aqua, Chicago is most certainly still leading the way in that arena, in my opinion. I was invited by my friend Matt Ostenick. He's the president of the Charette Venture Group and the founder of the Architecture Business Plan Competition. He invited me to Chicago to serve as a jurist for the Business Plan Competition, which was held on Wednesday and Thursday. Well, it was held this past year, but the actual presentations by the finalists, as well as the announcement of who the winner was at a reception, that was on Wednesday and Thursday. And so I got a chance to stay at the Hotel Burnham, which is where the finalists from the competition presented their final plans, as well as where the winners were announced. The Hotel Burnham is located in the former Reliance building. It's a structure which every architect reads about in our history books. So when you get to see it, you sort of remember that building and say, oh, that looks familiar. And then you walk in and you realize what it was and where it was. It was designed by Daniel Burnham of Burnham and Root. Remember that name, guys? And Charles B. Atwood, two superstars of the turn of the century who designed skyscrapers. And the Reliance building was one of the early skyscrapers and was the first building of that height to have large plate glass windows, which sort of foreshadowed the glass skins of many of our skyscrapers today. It was fascinating to see how the building was restored, and it was essentially rescued from demolition and adaptively reused as the luxury hotel that it is today. And it was done beautifully, I think. As an architect, it was fun to kind of snoop around and look at all the original details that still remain, the ironwork and the terrazzo floors and the mosaic tiles are all still there and restored to new condition. It's really, really exciting to take a look at it. You can see photos of the building at the hotel's website, burnhamhotel.com. I returned home on Saturday evening, as I promised my family I would, to attend the Wooden Boat Show in Mystic Seaport with my wife and my kids. My middle one, Henry, is fascinated by boats. He built his own wooden boat, an 11'6" poor boy skiff, which he's very quick to tell you, 11'6". He was 7 years old when he built that boat, and it was published in Wooden Boat Magazine. So we're lucky enough to be invited every year to attend the show, and one of the magazine editors takes some time out to spend the day with us. She's fantastic. Her name is Robin Jettinghoff, and we've become friends. So every year we head up to Mystic Seaport and spend the day with Robin. So that was really exciting. So I came home sort of a day early. The convention ended on Saturday, but many things continued on to Sunday. But I came home and had a great time on Sunday with my family. So today on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I'm going to talk about my week and share my insights on the business plan competition as well as the AIA National Convention. And so it was a fantastic week. So stick with me, and I'm going to tell you all about it from my point of view. Okay, so I'm going to do this in chronological order. I'm going to sort of tell you what I did on Wednesday, and I'll work my way all the way through the week and tell you what I did and what I thought of the things I did. It was a great week. I started out on Wednesday at the Hotel Burnham with the business plan competition. The competition had over 130 entries, which blew away our expectations. Matt expected, you know, maybe 20 or 30 entries, and we received, 130 registered entries. We actually got over 50 submissions, so 130 people registered for the competition, and then 50 actually put together the requirements of an executive summary and submitted that. And those 50 plus submissions were what we as the jurists reviewed a few months ago, and we scored them with a scoring system that we've developed, where Matt developed, and then we had I think it was a Google Hangout. It was a video conference. And we discussed our findings, and we went through each submission, and we picked six finalists for, and invited those six finalists to prepare fully developed business plans and present them at in Chicago at the time of the convention. So it was all coordinated to be at the same time as the convention, the day before. And six finalists did come to present their business plans. All six were awesome, really, really good plans, great ideas, very innovative. I was as an entrepreneur architect, I was really excited to see that of even the 50 submissions, how many were really creative, innovative ideas that were thinking outside the box of a traditional architecture firm. Those kind of things get me so pumped up. I love it. I loved being a part of this because I got to see all those ideas. It's one of my passions are, you know, these creative ideas of thinking outside the box and create new ways to do architecture as a business. And the six finalists were just that. Thursday evening was the reception and the awards presentation, which was Thursday was also the first day of the actual AIA convention. So I spent my Thursday mostly dedicated to the business plan competition, both Wednesday and Thursday. And so the winner of the competition, after much difficulty with the jurist, we spent a couple hours going through the final six presentations after they were presented on Wednesday morning. And the winner was Scott Larrick of 1159 Studio, located in Austin, Texas. He was the winner of $10,000, which was the grand prize of this competition, $10,000 cash. And Scott's mission with 1159 is to meet Austin's skyrocketing demand for affordable housing by specializing in the design and construction of prefabricated sustainable homes, small ones between 500 and 850 square feet, which I loved. I loved that these were tiny little buildings that were really easy to build and could be placed, you know, very simply. And the idea was to sort of develop, you know, through 1159 to develop these affordable housing units internally. So they would design them, they would develop them, they would construct them, deliver them, and install them, you know, essentially all for one price. So you can, you know, buy this package and they would deliver a 500 to 800 square feet pre-designed, prefabricated building to your site. The plan was also to apply to be named a certified B Corporation, which is has rigorous standards for social and environmental standards. And it was, you know, the plan is to address the affordable housing problem in Austin, which has massive population growth right now. And home values are skyrocketing to the point where people who aren't making a lot of money are sort of being moved out of their neighborhoods because they can't afford to live there anymore. And so Scott's idea was to develop these. There's a part of the code of the Austin building code that defines an accessory dwelling unit. And it's a building that's between 500 and 800 square feet, or 500, whatever it is, but it's like under 1,000 square feet. So they're small and they have very specific rules and regulations. And his intent is to build these prefabricated sustainably, and they would be designed to meet the requirements of Living Building Challenge as well as Net Zero Energy Building Certification. So they'd be sustainable prefabricated little houses, and they would have two models: a 500 square foot model, which would be a one bedroom, one bathroom, and that would cost $75,000 delivered. And another one that was prefabricated, pre-designed, 800 square feet, two bedrooms, one bath, costing just over $100,000. And so, you know, the idea is that there's thousands of these properties that are eligible to install accessory dwelling units. And Scott's idea is to serve that market and serve the affordable housing problem at the same time, potentially make a lot of money doing it and making Austin a better place. And so his plan was beautifully prepared. The actual plan was beautiful to look at. The idea, I love the idea. I love the simplicity of the idea. I loved the way that because it was so simple, it could be replicated very easily. Systems could be built around creating these units. And once he sort of was successful in Austin, it would be so easy to take this plan and the systems developed around this plan and drop it in any other city throughout the entire world that has similar accessory dwelling unit codes in their building codes. So I love that. And so it was really exciting. Second place, and first and second place, you know, I could tell you through the deliberation with the jury, first, second, and third place kept bouncing back and forth. We went through it over and over and over again, and every time we talked about it, it was a different top prize. So it was not easy to pick a winner. What we really wanted to do was pick three winners, but obviously you can't do that. Somebody's got to win the big prize. I don't think anybody would be happy if we took the $10,000 and split it up. So we didn't do that. The second place was awarded to Catherine Darnstadt of Leighton Design. Catherine, I knew previously, she spoke at the AIAS forum, which I spoke at in December, also in Chicago. I was sort of her opening act. She was the keynote speaker. And I was invited to speak on the same night. And I gave a little presentation about Entrepreneur Architect and my ideas on Entrepreneur Architism. Is that a word? I just created it, Architism. So Catherine was the keynote, and she did a great job. She's a fantastic speaker, presents very, very well. She walks into a room, and the charisma is just beaming from her. She's going to be massively successful. If you don't know who Catherine Darnstadt is yet, you will. Late Design is a progressive architecture firm and strategic design consultancy based in Chicago. And their plan is they're working at the intersection of design and community development. And they use design as a tool, and they're committed to creating social and economic and environmental change, having an impact beyond the building. So she's taking architecture as sort of the lead for what she's doing, but she's developing this business, this, I don't even know if you can call it a business. It certainly is a business, but it's so much more than that. To make social change, to go into certain areas of cities and use design as a tool to fix those cities from the inside out. She uses a strategy called Define, Design, Deploy, and that allows them to sort of function as a fully integrated design build firm where she can go in, she can identify problems, she can define the problem, she and her firm, then design solutions to those problems, and then as a design build firm, which is what part of her plan was about, was to evolve into that next step. Right now she's a design architecture firm. They want to take it to the next step and become a construction, have a construction-based element to her services, and they could do the entire thing and do it their way and the way they want to do it. She's already completed work for small urban installations all the way to new construction, community buildings, all the way through neighborhood redevelopment. She's done all of that in about 4 years. She's skyrocketing right now, and I truly believe that Catherine and Leighton Design, they're going to be the firm that the world looks to as a model for this type of firm, firms that are using design for social change. Leighton Design is going to be, if they're not already, the leader that the world looks to do what she's doing. Catherine is a tremendous leader. She's a tremendous presenter. And she's going to be tremendously successful. She was awarded the second place and was awarded $2,500 for that position. And like I said, it was really difficult to pick the top winner between Catherine and Scott. The official business plan competition the original idea was to have just two winners, a first place winner and a second place winner. And through the jury and through reviewing all of the plans, like I said, all six were amazing. But we actually decided to create a third, an honorable mention category. And Matt added an additional $1,000 prize to recognize Seth Anderson for his extremely well-developed business plan for his firm, Ascent Architecture. Their firm is focused on the architecture of healthcare, and his plan was a model for what successful business plans look like. And we wanted to show our appreciation for the work that he did in putting together that plan, because if you see that plan, if you saw the plan that Seth put together, it is like I said, it is a model business plan. It had everything presented very clearly. All his numbers were there. It was a beautifully presented plan. And so he won an honorable mention and was awarded $1,000. So that was the 2004 architecture business plan competition. And I've already been told that there will be a 2015 business plan competition. And so this was very, very successful for not only Matt and the competition, but the 50 plus submissions all of them benefited from this. This was all something that, even if they were not a finalist, putting together a business plan is something that, that every architect who owns their own business should be doing. And having a competition like this, encouraging and inspiring architects to think about their businesses as businesses and to create plans around them, this is a service that is just wonderful. So 2015, it will happen again. I have not been given the details, but Matt has asked me to sit on the jury again for 2015, and I've accepted to do that. I look forward to being involved in this competition as long as Matt wants me to, because I really am excited about what's happening through this competition. So watch Matt's website. It's called architectbusinessplancompetition.com. I'm sure eventually details for the 2015 plan will go up. We did some sort of post-competition conversation and talked about what could be improved by this, what was great about it and what could be improved. And 2015, the plan will only go to the next level. It's going to be even better. So watch for that. So that was Wednesday and Thursday. And so let's talk about Friday. I was scheduled on Friday. So Friday was dedicated. Friday and Saturday for me was dedicated to the convention. I fulfilled my obligations to Matt and the architecture business plan competition on Wednesday and Thursday. And Friday and Saturday, my plan was to head over to the convention center and absorb as much of that excitement as I could. And for Friday was a crazy busy day for me. I was scheduled to present three presentations in separate areas of the convention, all between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. 12, well, noon, 12 noon, 9 a.m. 12 noon. And so I needed to be in three different places very quickly, one after another. And so Thursday, I actually spent the later day on Thursday mapping out my route and confirming that I could actually travel from one location to the other. And luckily I did that, because the elevators and the escalators that I mapped out on the convention center map, which I had planned to shoot from one presentation, I was planning to go up that escalator up to, and it would drop me right where I needed to be on this in the second presentation. And when I went and checked on Thursday, those elevators and escalators were shut down for the convention. They were not part of the area that the convention was set up for. So luckily I did that on Thursday and rerouted where I needed to be, timed it on Thursday and had plenty of time to get from one to the other. But if I waited till Friday and ran to that escalator and realized that they were shut down and then had to figure out where I needed to go, I'm not quite sure I would have made it to my next presentation. So luckily I did that. So at 9 o'clock on Friday, my first presentation, it was sort of, it was for the Foresight Report. The Foresight Report is sort of the annual report for AIA National. It sort of discusses what's next and, you know, what's happening in the profession currently and what's next, shows the trends for the future. And I was interviewed for that report, and my intent when I was interviewed for that was to express the concerns and celebrate the small firm architect, sort of be the architect's representative. That was my intent, and that was my job. So if you read the Foresight Report, which is available for free to any AIA member, I'll have a link at the show notes for that. If you wanted to get your copy, you just have to sign in with your AIA membership. Another reason to be an AIA member, you get a free copy of the Foresight Report and everything that has, and it's well worth reading. If you're not an AIA member, find an AIA member and get a copy of the Foresight Report, because it is well worth reading. And this year, there is a serious intentional focus on small firm architects. They reached out to me to interview me about small firm architects and what should be in the report. And there's a lot in the report about small firm architects. And many small firm architects are mentioned by name specifically. Matt Ostenick is mentioned for the business plan competition. Bob Borson of Life of an Architect was mentioned. Enoch Sears over at Business of Architecture was in it. Jody Brown of Coffee with an Architect. He writes a great blog. Rosa Sheng, a friend of mine that I interviewed on the Entrepreneur Architect podcast about the missing 32%. She was mentioned in the report. All three guys over at ArchiSpeak podcast, Neil Pan, Evan Troxell, and Cormac Phelan were all mentioned by name, including the podcast. Jess Stafford of Big Time Small Firm, a good friend of mine. He was mentioned for his work with Big Time Small Firm. Osha Wilson of Boiled Architecture, also interviewed on the podcast. Rena Klein, also interviewed on the podcast. And I was mentioned as well for both my work at Five Cat Studio as a small firm, as well as the work I'm doing here at Entrepreneur Architect. And there were many, many more references to specific people and things that we're doing. Small firm architects are leading the way, and the Foresight Report is recognizing that. So my morning on Friday started out by participating on the panel discussion about the Foresight Report. And I represented the small firm architect's point of view on the panel, and it was my mission to spread the word about all great things independent small firm architects are doing to lead the way for change. The panel was recorded in a studio with no audience, so it was just sort of a TV studio. And the videos are planned to be distributed online as AIA continuing education presentations. And so you're going to get learning units for them. And as soon as I receive a link for those, I will share them on my social media. And maybe if I can remember, I'll put them a link to them on this episode as well. I'm very proud of the work I did on that panel. I believe that I represented the small firm point of view very well. I take that very seriously, and I think it did a good job. So I wanted to thank Bob Fisher, who is the principal of the Greenway Group. He's also a fellow jury member on the Architecture Business Plan Competition. He's the principal of the Greenway Group. The Greenway Group is the publisher of Design Intelligence Magazine, which also this past week published an article that I wrote called The Independent Architects Are Leading the Way for Change. And I'll put a link for that also on the show notes. The Greenway Group is the publisher of the Foresight Report for AIA. And Bob invited me to participate on this panel and was the one who interviewed me for the Foresight Report. So I appreciate him for that. And I appreciate him including small firms in the report, and which compared to last year small firms were barely represented. This year they're significantly represented, and so I appreciate Bob reaching out to me so that we can make sure that happened. So that was Friday morning, 9 a.m. Okay, my next presentation was I had to go from that was over at 10:30. And I needed to be on the Architect Live stage at 10:45. And so now you can understand why I was a little nervous when that escalator was shut down. But at 10:45, actually a few minutes early, I arrived at the Architect Live stage. And my presentation was called Building a Debt Zero Business. If you're a reader of my blog or a listener to this podcast on a regular basis, my presentation may sound a little bit familiar to you. It's based both on the blog post and the episode that I published about building a debt zero business. And so I presented why small firm architects should be building a debt zero business and how Anne Marie and I built our own debt zero business. I gave the step-by-step instructions on how we did it. And so the actual podcast for building a debt zero business can be found at entrearchitect.com/episode36 if you want to listen to that episode of the podcast, which that presentation was based on. And so that was over around 11 o'clock. So I had a few minutes after that to chat with some of my friends that hung out and watched that. And met a few new friends who had some questions. And so I had that opportunity. And then at 12 noon, I needed to go on the complete opposite end of the expo floor over to the what AIA calls the town hall. It's a place where sort of a gathering place for anybody, but I think it's intentionally designed for emerging architects to sort of network. It's done very well. The town hall concept started in Denver last year. It was very, very successful last year, and I believe it was successful again this year. They have a tweet up every year where all the architects on Twitter come together at town hall. I was not able to attend that because I had a session, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. I missed that tweet up, unfortunately, because I really enjoyed that last year. I get to meet a lot of people up, you know, face to face that I communicate with on Twitter. If you want to chat with me on Twitter, I'm on Twitter most all day, in and out while I'm working. You can follow me at Entree Architect, and it's well worth your time. Because it's not just me, it's a whole bunch of architects all over the country, actually all over the world, who have become friends. And we all sort of hang out and talk on Twitter and ask questions and support one another. It's a really great thing. So you small firm architects, get your Twitter app loaded on your iPhones and come join us. So what I did over at Town Hall is I presented a session on business planning for small firm architects. And I presented, it was called the Simple Business Plan for Small Firm Architects. And I presented my original 2006 business plan for my firm, which you may remember I presented in this podcast, episode 24. I did the same thing. I didn't present the business plan word for word like I did in the episode. You can actually listen to that episode, and I went through my business plan from 2006 word for word and presented how I did it and why I did it. And so at the session, I sort of highlighted the sections and talked about why each section was important and why I put it in, and talked a little bit about how it evolved into the business plan that I have today. But you know what? Something that I was a little bit disappointed in myself about with the business plan session was that I forgot to ask for a questions and answer Q&A at the end. So I was a little disappointed that I didn't do that, because I would have loved to answer any questions anyone had about the business plan or about anything else that I'm doing, an Entrepreneur Architect. So if anybody who was attending, or if you weren't attending and you have a question, I'd love you to go to this episode's show notes, entrearchitect.com/episode36, and leave a comment there and ask me a question, and I'd love to answer it about business planning or anything else that you might have questions about. And you could do that on any episode, any blog. I would love for you to comment and leave me a question and do that. You can also, if you want to send me a private question, you can also go to the blog, and up on the top, there's a contact button, and you can send me an email through the blog. So that was Friday. And so Saturday, that was Friday. I have my timeline a little bit mixed up here. The sessions that I did, I took a breather, had some lunch, and then I took two seminars, which were very, very well done. The first one was The Definitive Guide to Hanging Your Shingle Out for Residential Practice. It's very good. I like taking seminars like that because I present what I know here at Entrepreneur Architect. I love the business of architecture, and I really like to go to presentations and listen to other architects talk about similar things that I talk about, so I could understand where they're coming from and learn from them, so I could take what I learned from them and present it to you. And James Walbridge of Tecton Architecture was the presenter for that. He's a member of the Custom Residential Architects Network, also known as CRAN, and he did a great job. I believe that James is the future chairman of CRAN. I think this coming up year, he's becoming chairman of that committee. And so that's going to be excellent. His presentation was very, very well done. You could download his complete presentation at his website that he developed just for this presentation. It's called hangyourshingleout.com, and you can download his whole presentation. It was very well done. Then the next seminar that I went to was Jonathan Siegel's seminar, Architect as Developer. If you don't know who Jonathan Siegel is, you should look him up. He is an architect from San Diego who has built a business around multi-unit housing development. And he designs it and builds it and owns it and keeps it and gets rent from it and is making a lot of money doing it, receiving many, many awards for the quality and the level of the design of these buildings, building them himself, owning them and collecting rent, and really as a model for what architects who are interested in doing this, architects who are interested in developing their own projects and making money doing it, Jonathan is who you should be looking toward. In his seminar, he presented his story, his journey to become an architect developer. It was so inspiring, very, very entertaining, shared lots of strategies and specifics on numbers. He gives an all-day seminar. I don't know when it's available. It's been done in the past. I don't know if he has any dates coming up where he goes through step by step how he does what he does. Gets very, very detailed. But even in this presentation, which was an hour long, very, very well done, very specific, and had a great Q&A session at the end where people asked him questions and he answered them. You can learn more about Jonathan and Architect as a Developer at his website, architectasdeveloper.com. He has an online version of his seminar available as well for purchase, where he gives you all of his paperwork, all his proformas, everything that it takes to do what he does, he presents in his online seminar. So that was excellent, excellent. If you're interested in doing that, and I'm actually going to pursue that as well and look into that, because that is something that Anne-Marie and I have planned for our future as Five Cat develops. So that was Friday. Friday night, I think, may be my favorite time of the entire convention. Friday night, I organized a dinner at Lou Malnati's, which is a restaurant in Chicago that serves deep dish Chicago pizza. It was awesome, awesome pizza. Had a great time there. And I invited a bunch of my friends that if you are online, you may recognize some of these names. Bob Borson was there, Andrew Hawkins, Laura Teagarden, Chris Garrity, Jess Stafford, Jeff Eccles, Marika McKeel, Tyler Baldwin, and Taylor Schaub are two of my friends from AIAS. They live in Chicago. They were the ones that actually picked Lou Malnati's for me. They're good friends of mine. Enoch Sears was there. Eric Bobrow was there. And Amanda Eden, who's a friend of Bob and is now a friend of all of ours, she was there as well. And actually, Marika brought a friend as well that she met at the big AIA party, and she invited him. I don't remember his name, so I'm very sorry that I don't remember your name. But he was there as well, and we had a great time. Awesome pizza, fantastic conversation. These are true friends. These are people that I met online through Twitter, through blogging, and have become true friends. And I appreciate their support. They've supported me with Entrepreneur Architect. All of these people did, which is why I invited them to come hang out with us. And it was a great night. And also, the guys from the ArchiSpeak podcast, we coordinated a call-in while we were hanging out eating our deep dish pizza. They called in, recorded a live episode of the ArcaSpeak podcast, which I'll also have a link over at the show notes. It was awesome. That just came out this past Sunday, where they interviewed a bunch of us. We passed the phone around while we were eating our pizza, and we had lots of fun. And it was real time feedback from the convention. It's definitely worth a listen to that ArcaSpeak episode, because you know, not only was it fun that we were sort of all eating dinner and talking and chatting about architecture and fun things that friends do, but we also all gave our insight about the convention, and I think it was pretty valuable information that we talked about. So that was Friday. I ended up Friday very, very, very late by the time I got home. So Saturday morning, my 8 o'clock seminar wasn't going to happen. I slept in and missed my 8 o'clock seminar on Saturday. But my mission on Saturday was to support AIA and hit the expo, make sure I walked every aisle, and I checked out, you know, the few vendors who were attending, who were offering residential product. They, you know, there's a few there. You know, I'd say if there's anything that AIA needs to focus on in Atlanta and future conventions, it is the expo for residential architects. There's just not enough there to attract residential architects to the expo. And I think that mostly has to do with the fact that many residential architects don't show up. And so we need to show up. If we show up, the AIA will recognize that, and they will invite more vendors. The vendors will recognize that there's a value for being there for us. And so I think it's important for us to show up. And I believe that the expo will start being more residential architect friendly. So that was Saturday, and Saturday was basically the last day of the official convention. And I did go to the closing keynote. I missed all of the other keynotes because of the work I was doing elsewhere, but I really wanted to attend the closing event, and it was well worth it. It started out by presenting the 25-year award to Harry Weiss for the Washington, D.C. Metro. Harry Weiss passed away in 1998, but the Washington, D.C. Metro was awarded the 25-year award, and I believe it was Harry's brother and Harry's son were there to receive the award, which was really, really great. So that was exciting. And then the newly elected executives for the leadership, the executive committee for the new AIA leadership were presented, including Russell Davidson. Russell Davidson is a friend of mine and a mentor. I worked at Russell's firm, Kier Garman and Davidson, in the mid-90s as an intern, project manager, and truthfully, Anne-Marie and I owe much of our professional success, much of the early years of Five Cat Studio, to Russell and to Russell's partners at the time, the former partners at KG&D. And so I am so proud of Russell for working his way up the ranks in AIA and becoming the 2016 president of AIA National. He is going to make a big difference in that organization, and I really look forward to be a big supporter of Russell and what he does with AIA National. So he was there on stage as the 2015 first vice president and the 2016 president-elect, as well as the other members of the newly elected committee. Then after that was the gold medal. And this was really special. The gold medal was awarded to Julia Morgan. She was the first woman architect to receive that prize. Julia Morgan has passed away. She was a contemporary of Frank Lloyd Wright. She practiced in the 40s and 50s, and she died in 1957. The award was received by Julia Morgan's grandniece, Ellen North, but what was really special, and tears literally filled my eyes when Beverly Willis, FAIA, founder of the Beverly Willis Architectural Foundation, presented the keynote for that award. And she started her practice the year after Julia Morgan died. And she spoke of the trials and the triumph of women in architecture with such emotion, and spoke with such honor and respect for the profession. It was awesome. And I was so glad to be in attendance to witness her words. She was obviously emotional. It touched me, and I believe it probably touched everybody in that big room. It was a really special moment for that award to be awarded to Julia Morgan, and to hear Beverly Willis present her feelings about the award and about women in architecture. It was really, really special. And then following the gold medal award was the closing keynote speech by Tony Hsieh of Zappos. And as a business junkie, Tony Hsieh is one of my business heroes. He's the CEO of Zappos. And Tony Hsieh presented the work and the inspiration happening at the Zappos company headquarters. So not only did he talk about Zappos and how successful they are as a company and how special they are as sort of focusing on the happiness of their customers, but he spoke about his company headquarters. And where most headquarters are inward-facing and security-focused, the designs are sort of almost like fortresses to keep people out. Zappos has purchased the former Las Vegas City Hall and has redeveloped much of downtown Las Vegas as an incubator and a community development center, sort of a community development project for the citizens of the city of Las Vegas. They put on special events and festivals, and they invest, Tony Hsieh as well as Zappos invest personally in small businesses. They find people who have talents, and they show them how to put together a business, and they invest in them, and they create these businesses. He's encouraging spontaneous meetups. He calls them collisions, reinforcing the fabric of the community and building relationships throughout the neighborhood. You know, I love reading about corporate leaders and their stories, and Tony Hsieh's journey is so inspirational. Zappos' slogan and their corporate mission is delivering happiness. And they're not only doing that through their products and exceptional customer service, but through design and architecture and community planning. They're delivering happiness to millions, both globally and locally. So I encourage you to check out what Tony Hsieh is doing in Las Vegas, what Zappos is doing with Tony Hsieh's leadership, because I'm quite certain that you'll be really inspired to do great things too. When you see what they're doing in Las Vegas, it's really, really, really exciting. And so that was my week. After that, I got on an airplane and headed home, and got home late Saturday night, and did the boat show on Sunday. A couple of other things I wanted to talk about before I wrap this up. Mahe is a friend of mine. He is the Director of Innovation and Product Development at AIA National. Last year, if you saw my videos that I did for AIA, I walked around the vendor expo floor and interviewed the vendors. And Mahe was the one who asked me to do that, and I worked with him last year. This year, I couldn't do that because of my schedule. I wanted to do it, but I couldn't do it. But Mahe reached out to me, and he wanted me to let you guys know that the AIA is offering a special pass to convention attendees. So anybody who's been there and registered for the convention can, they have a convention pass plus. It's $99. It's an on-demand access to 10 seminars, and it offers up to 12 and a half learning units. So if you are looking for learning units, you can get $99. You can get 12 and a half learning units, and their videos, I believe their videos from the convention. So basically live recordings of the seminars that were presented at AI convention. That's available until August 2nd, 2014. And you can purchase a pass for that by emailing conventionlive@aia.org. So if you're interested in that, conventionlive@aia.org. And you can learn more about Convention Live at aia.bob.tv. aia.bob, like Bob, .tv. And also he wanted to let me know that I believe it was the second day's keynote panel. It was called the Resiliency Panel. It was a very popular panel discussion about architecture and how it can be used to fight climate change and new ways that sustainable buildings are serving their communities. That keynote presentation, which is also offering one learning unit, is available for free at aia.bob.tv. So you can go to aia.bob.tv and you can get a free one learning unit and see that panel discussion, which I missed because I was doing something else. But there was buzzing throughout the convention about that keynote. So I highly recommend that you check that out. So 2015 AIA convention is in Atlanta. And the dates are a little bit earlier in the spring, May 14th through May 16th. So it'll be a little bit cooler than if it was held in late June in Atlanta. I think May 14th through 16th was a good idea. So put that on your calendar. Some reasons for small firm architects to attend AIA convention in 2015. The tours of architecture and urban development are exceptional. The tours and I didn't get a chance to go on the tours. Bob Borson was telling me that when he goes to conventions, his focus is going on tours. He doesn't do a lot of sessions. He goes on tours and sees the architecture of the city. And I think that's such a great idea. So Atlanta will have some great tours about the architecture of Atlanta and the urban development happening in Atlanta. And then there's also seminars, and they're not just specifically for architects, but there are many seminars that are specifically developed for small firm architects. And every year there's more and more. And so that's a great reason to go to AIA convention in 2015. And the expo, hopefully, if AIA hears me and small firm architects hear me, hopefully the expo will be filled with vendors offering products for residential and small commercial projects. One of my favorite reasons and one of the biggest reasons I go to AIA convention is the networking, to meet old friends that I've known for years and to meet new friends. And maybe we've been teasing this a little bit on Twitter since we've been home, but maybe we'll take our little meetup to the next level in Atlanta and do something really big next year so more people can be involved in that and hang out with us, because that was a lot of fun and definitely valuable. So stay tuned for that information. I'm sure that'll happen later in the year when we get closer to the event. We'll figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. But another reason to go to convention, to go to any of these kind of big events, is to get out of the office and experience new things. So when you get out, you sort of, it's inspirational and the creative juices start flowing and it just makes you feel good about architecture. So I think that's a good reason to get out and go to the convention. And really my biggest reason, here's my biggest reason why you as a small firm architect should attend AIA convention in 2015. Because if we don't stand up and take the lead in this profession, we're going to be ignored. We've been ignored for years, and now is the time to stand up and be noticed. You need to share your knowledge and your expertise. AIA right now is accepting proposals for educational seminars right now. It started July 1st. It ends August 15th. So you got a little bit of a month and a half to put together a proposal for an educational seminar. You think you might not be qualified for that, but I think you are. I think you know something that other people can learn from you. Go out there and share your knowledge. Put together a proposal and submit it to the AIA and be there presenting, not just be there to absorb it and to consume it,
but be there to share what you know. You know a lot. And share your knowledge, because the more you share, the more we're all going to benefit from it. And if you show up, you're going to be heard. And if you want change, if you want change in the profession and you want change in the AIA, we need to become an influential force. We're becoming an influential force. We're beginning to get noticed. And I'll be there doing what I can to continue spreading the word, spreading the mission of Entrepreneur Architect and advocating for the small firm architect. But I can't do it alone. I need your help. I need you to be there and do what you do. I want you to follow examples presented by people like Rosa Shang of The Missing 32%, of Bob Borson of Life of an Architect, Jess Stafford of Big Time Small Firm, Enoch Sears of Business of Architecture, and the guys at ArchiSpeak Podcast. Use them as an example. Share what you know. Create a platform to connect and support your fellow architects. Do whatever you are inspired to do and go do it. And I'm going to see you in Atlanta in 2015. I'll be there, and I hope you are too. And I thank you very much for listening to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast and all the support that you've shown toward our mission. Please spread the word. Share a link to this episode. Leave a review at iTunes. You can go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes and you can leave a review there. That helps other architects find the podcast. Tell the friend, turn around and tell the friend that's sitting to you right there in the next workstation working on CAD over there. See him over there? The guy over there or the lady working on the CAD station next to you. Go tap him on the shoulder and say, "Hey, Entrepreneur Architect, entrearchitect.com. You got to check it out." Do whatever you can to help this thing grow, and the entire profession is going to be better for it. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am the founder of Entrepreneur Architect, and I thank you very much for listening.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.